Oh, I need to open Twit. I need to open chat. I don't have chat open. That's what I'm forgetting.
It's always something.
Yeah, I was trying to get all these new layouts and everything set up for this game for tonight, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna forget something, but oh well.
Oh, how nice. So my Skype like did a massive major update on OS X, and it is really nice.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I use multiple desktops when you slide across the workspaces they call them,
Yeah.
and when you change to a new workspace away from Skype, it kind of puts a picture in picture of that Skype chat going on, so you can still see what's going on it, which is very cool.
Oh, that's super handy.
Yeah. And the sounds are all new and have some bass to them, and I
Cool.
don't like the preference panels very different as far as Mac goes. It's not your traditional OS X preference panel, so it's a little jarring to get used to, but it's all right.
Sure, I don't know. It's always like that though with change. I hate everything. This is terrible. And then like a week later you're like, "How did I ever live without this?"
Yeah. It's one of those things that I don't know if Jobs was still there, I don't know if this would fly. Because it breaks traditional, preference panes in all OS X applications.
Too bad. Haha. I shouldn't say that too loud. My coworkers are all like, they came from the Apple store and they're all Mac enthusiasts, and my whole workplace is Mac. It's 650 like iMacs, and like I'm a support guy, so it's like in an all Mac infrastructure, it's pretty easy to support. Like coming from a PC Windows like environment, it's like I really don't do that much. I just got to go and help people out with really basic things and replace Macs when they break.
Yep. So I managed an IT department prior for a defense contractor, and we had a project manager, actually use air quotes around this, project manager, who called me into her office one day because she was trying to do a save as. She's trying to save a document as something, and she's like, "It's not in this program. I can't save it as like whatever." I'm like, "Yeah, just do file save as, and there it is." She's like, "It's not there." I was like, "I'm on my way." So I go to her office, and she's like, "Watch," because I always one of the things I learned, and if you haven't, here's a tip for you: always have the user recreate what they're doing, because it's usually something they're forgetting. It's usually like one little step. So when you get to the office, don't do it for them. Go like, "Show me what you're doing," and then they'll show you. So she's like, "File, save as." I'm like, "All right, cool." And then she's like, "See?" And I'm like, "Okay, just scroll down on that list. You see the little down arrow?
Oh,
Look
no.
there." She's like, "Go away now." You know,
IT
you may leave.
101. What's
Yeah, I
up,
think early on in
Justin?
my career, I had someone who used a CD tray as like a cup holder. So that
Oh,
was like the
yeah.
worst.
You hear that one all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been
All
at it for a
right.
while.
You guys ready to do a show?
Oh,
1 minute.
wow. It's time.
It is
One
time.
minute.
1 minute.
1 minute. My laptop is like really heating
Oh,
up
yeah.
right
Oh,
now.
no. It's heating up.
Yeah, I will say that.
It's up to you. Good to see you.
I feel so bad for it. It's like I'm getting as much life out of it as I can, but it's struggling.
Soon, soon we'll have
Oh my god,
Yeah.
look at the advanced like Twitch icons in from Marspad. I'm impressed. It's got the flair.
Hi, Mars. Hi to
Damn.
John Silva and to Justin TV as well.
What's
Yeah.
up in the chat room?
What's up?
See, I can
Yeah.
say hello to Mars in both places because he's also over in the podcast chat channel on our Discord server.
We know, Frank. We know.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes you need a loud keyboard.
Hey.
I have a really loud keyboard too, and I won
A
a
loud
set.
keyboard contest?
No, I won. Yeah, I won a how loud can you type
Because I got
contest.
someone who can challenge you right here.
Yeah. No, I won a Corsair keyboard
Oh,
headset and
nice.
mouse,
At this
and
kind
I
of
got Yeah, exactly. At BlizzCon, not from the Crane game, but for helping them out, they were rewarding me with it.
They let
me pick out any ones that I wanted. So I got a Silent Corsair keyboard. So I was excited. But then as the innkeeper in me kind of came to, I decided to give away that whole set of Corsair loot as a prize for the cracked cup. So I re-gifted like $500 in Corsair loot for that tournament.
That's pretty awesome. Sweet.
That's cool. I won a mouse pad once and traded it for pizza.
Totally the same. That's amazing.
Yeah. Are you ready now, Larry?
That's,
we only take
the same feel-good story right there. Is awesome. Yeah.
That's a good story.
You ready now, Larry?
Okay, give me one sec.
She's got to make sure the phone drops before.
What's up, Nessa? Good to see you, man.
Okay, I don't know. Twitter doesn't want me tagging anyone in anything, so there is a tweet out if you guys can help by retweeting it. Yeah, okay. Good to go.
All right. Starting in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Innkeeper's Podcast. We're glad you found your way here.
And welcome to episode 13 of the Innkeeper's Podcast. We are a podcast for innkeepers covering Hearthstone's fireside gatherings. With insight and information, we hope all of our fellow innkeepers find useful. On this episode, we are excited to get to test the Kobolds and Catacombs Fireside Adventure Companion on this show. We also have its creator, Scott Bites Levy. I'm Patrick from Knoxville, Tennessee.
This is Root from Orlando, Florida.
And this is O'Leary from Halifax in Nova Scotia, Canada. And of course, as Avanti's already said, we have a very special guest today with Scott, a.k.a. Bites.
Ooh, yo! Hey!
All right.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up?
We are super excited. At least I am super excited. I've been a D&D fan for years, and when you posted earlier this week that you had written a companion for side events for fireside gatherings that kind of combined D&D and Hearthstone, it just kind of like I got all giddy. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to see this in action. And I thought, what better way to do that than get you on the show, we actually play it on the show, and we can kind of teach innkeepers how to run the campaign all at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Big shout out to O'Leary, who like was the genesis of this idea. You came to me and you're like, what if, didn't you say you like woke up and you're like just inspired? Like, what if you combine? Oh, on the bus. That's right. Okay, you go ahead.
I was looking out the window and I was like, D&D Hearthstone. Oh my God. I was like, who do I like bring, like, talk to about this to make it happen? Because I'm a really good ideas person and like I can definitely like chat and help like figure out like ways to do things. But in terms of actually like producing it, like I've played D&D, but like nothing extensively that I would feel confident being able to actually pull this off in time for the expansion. So I reached out to Scott and you ran with it. I'm so glad you did, because there's this awesome fun thing that I get to run at my firesides now. So kudos to you.
Cheers. Yeah, I've been playing D&D since I was 8, I think.
Wow.
I've played every type of D&D, and I have a D&D podcast called Beer and Battle where we just get drunk and play D&D and record it and then release it, and I guess that's entertaining.
That's amazing is what that is.
It's for whatever reason we have like I think like 750,000 downloads now, which is kind of nuts.
That's crazy.
We're on like over 120 episodes, and I don't know, it's incredibly vulgar, so not safe for work if you do check it out. But anyway, I felt, you know, I love D&D, and then even before like the expansion was announced, I was like really behind this idea, and then they announced Kobolds and Catacombs, and it's like, all right, well, this is a no-brainer. You got to have like a D&D mode for this expansion.
Yeah. So yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the companion that you've written?
Yeah. So, you know, this actually went through a couple iterations when I first made it. I was trying to figure out how best to take the D&D kind of role playing, like old school experience, and then like skin it and be able to take it into a fireside gathering. What the most important things to me about D&D is kind of creating a character and being able to level up that character over time and unlock abilities and having the sense of a journey and being able to take that character through different stories. So that's really the heart of it, is creating a character, taking that character through stories. And then when it comes time to actually run through these encounters, we're just taking the idea of solving the encounter and getting the experience points. And instead of rolling a D20 and having like a mechanic system to handle combat or handle whatever the situation is, you're using Hearthstone, and we're coming up with puzzles that you have to solve as a team or as solo or as versus in Hearthstone in order to get past these encounters. So that's kind of the overall idea behind it. And then the actual mechanics that I kind of made have gone through also a couple iterations within it. And I can take you quickly through them.
Let's take a look at the companion itself. Let me get that pulled up here. So there we go. Now, this is available on the hsnkeepers.com website now, correct?
Yeah, hsnkeepers.com/resources is the place to go. And that's the page that has most of the resources that we've released. Just underneath this, you'll see Sam, Ben Samson, is on Twitch, his dungeon run that he made, which is a really cool physical card game. That you have to, you go through basically different bosses and you build a deck. It's like a deck building card game. So that's an also like a great system to use. It's just underneath the Kobolds and Catacombs adventure companion. And then also with this, there is a little mini character sheet that you can use that I'm still working on, kind of fine tuning. So this is the first page inside the cover. You'll see that there's just kind of some script about where to begin, what it is. But the first thing you'd want to do is you're going to show up at your fireside gathering with maybe one or two copies of this as kind of like the player's handbook. And you can give this to your players and then talk them through how to create a character. So we've already done ahead of time, Aliri and Avantes have made characters. But the character creation process is you're going to just choose a class, any of the 9 classes from Hearthstone. You'll choose a faction, either the Alliance or the Horde. You'll choose a race. And those are mostly cosmetic, but the Alliance races and the Horde races are all listed there. And then you're going to create a backstory. And each of those, except for race, kind of have an impact in the gameplay. The classes, as you level up, unlock special features that are available only to those classes. They don't lock you in. Most of the way the games work, especially in the first adventure, are all deck building challenges. So you'll have to build a deck and then either, you know, figure out a way to solve the Hearthstone puzzle with a deck that you've built. So you're not limited by the class you choose. So if you choose Hunter, you don't have to only make Hunter decks, but it will unlock some specific bonuses that if you play a Hunter deck, you're going to have those bonuses. The factions are only important in point tracking. So part of the system is as you level up and as you complete quests, you're going to get treasure points, and especially as you get candles, because everyone knows you have to take candle from kobolds. So you're going to we're going to have an Alliance and a Horde leaderboard. So that's the only reason that there's kind of Alliance or Horde. You can be Alliance and you can partner up with Horde in your party. That might actually lead to some fun kind of role playing. Like I said, the race is pretty much just cosmetic. The backstory, though, originally this was also cosmetic, but after we play tested the game once, we thought this is a really good opportunity. So it's always hard for players to kind of come up with an idea, a genesis for a backstory for characters. And what we did is you choose basically an epic Hearthstone card, and you're going to create that character's backstory to integrate with that Hearthstone card. And it also unlocks the use of that card. So for instance, and I mentioned this on the video talking about this, if you choose Brawl, for instance, maybe your character is a famous brawler and now they're an adventurer, but then you can also use Brawl for any of the decks you build. So that's kind of a kind of fun twist on creating a backstory. Any questions so far?
Nope. Pretty straightforward. Nope. All right.
No.
Cool. Rolling on, yeah, the next page kind of goes over advancement. I talked a little bit about treasure points, experience points, or how we track, you know, your level. But here you see like a level chart, basically. And the idea, the main idea behind the game is all the players start at level one. And at level one, you just have a pauper deck, which means in this game, it's only common and basic cards that you can build decks with. You can actually even use rares, which normal pauper decks you can. But every level, you kind of have access to a certain amount of rare cards. So at level one, you can use two rare cards. So it's incredibly restrictive as far as the deck building process. And that's kind of cool because it makes your characters feel weak. And that gives you the sense of progression as you level up, which is something initially we had all rare cards available. But it felt too powerful, like too early on. And then as you level up, there's different things you're going to unlock. The first thing is that every level, including level one, you get to choose a skill. We can hop to the next page really quick. I'll show you that. The general skill list is here. And this is something that I'm going to add to. This is a way for, again, you can kind of make these a little bit thematic. But I wanted to make leveling up like unlocking different cards. So, for instance... you know, if your necromancy is your skill, you can add two epic minions that have death rattle keyword to your deck. And if you're a chicken farmer, you can add two angry chickens to, you have to actually add two angry chickens to your deck, but then you can add one legendary to your deck, which is like a big bonus, but then you have to kind of, you know, take the disadvantage of having angry chickens on your deck. So these are a bunch of different paths you can kind of go down to unlock features and get your decks stronger. All of these abilities upgrade when you hit level 5. So the ones that give you two epic cards actually will give you a legendary card of that same type as well. So going back, there's also class features. So class features, again, we can skip ahead to the next page. They are what I was talking about when you choose a class. We'll take the first class here, Druid. So all the rare class skills, which are unlocked at level 2, give you a bonus experience points if you can finish the game or the quest or whatever mission you're on while having a, you know, like a special requirement. So for Druid, the requirement is if you finish the quest match with at least 5 minions on your side of the board, then you get bonus XP. As you level up at level 6, you're going to unlock an epic ability, and at level 10, you unlock a legendary ability. The epic abilities and legendary abilities are things that happen at fireside gatherings, more or less. So they can't even happen, for the most case, in real life because it's too hard, or in over internet, unless you're like working with someone over Skype or something like that. Like, for instance, the mage epic here is Spell Steal. Your opponent has to tell you the names of any spells in their opening hand. And then the legendary is Polymorph Wisp, where you can actually replace... you go into their deck and you can replace one minion with a wisp. So they're very kind of powerful features that get added to the game as you level up. So that's pretty much all there is to the game. That's the setup. Is you make a character, you choose the class, the race, the skills, and then you you start playing. And as you play, the game will kind of tell you what you need to do in order to solve the quests. There's some other stuff in advancement. There's pins. Those are things that I'm actually printing. I'm going to send them out to innkeepers who actually use the system. And as characters reach certain level points, they're going to get access to these pins. So there'll be a bronze, a silver, and a gold pin. So a little status symbol.
That's really cool.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I have a design ready, but I'm not ready to show yet. And that's pretty much it. At 4th and 8th level, you can retrain any of your skills if you feel like you've gone down the wrong path. And then at 9th level, everyone unlocks one legendary minion that they can include in their deck. I think that's it. There's a section here for training yard, but I'll kind of go over that later. So I guess the next thing we have to do is just to play the game.
Sweet.
Right. Well, we have to build the deck first, right?
Yeah, well, we'll have to build the deck as we go through the encounter.
So
it's as we play that we build it?
Yes. And so here's what the character creation pages look like. I actually printed mine out and filled it in.
Awesome.
So, you're adorable.
Yeah, I made little cards for mine, and I gave these out to the players. So.
Yeah,
so would this be something that you would actually send out to your patrons ahead of time, or would you expect them to come in and fill it out once they're at the fireside gathering? Because there's a lot that goes in. If, like, Avanti's backstory is 3.5 pages for his character.
Yeah.
So I remember in my D&D days, I would spend like days creating my character. So is this something you may want to make it available a week in advance and to people who want to participate?
Yeah, you can. Honestly, it's kind of the fun. The hardest part that the people there had for me was coming up with the names of their characters. They like they didn't want to commit to a name. The good thing about this first module chapter of the game is that it's good and bad. It kind of railroads you a little bit, and there's not too much role-playing. So it basically is a tutorial mode. So it kind of teaches you how the game's going to run. So you can kind of just start with the basics of choosing the race and the class and the skill, and then you can let people kind of decide what their characters are going to be, you know, while the game's going on or after the game, and then bring it back next time.
Okay, so Avanti's and Leary should have their characters chosen by now, or start that process?
Yes. Yeah. We went ahead and pre-built our characters. As you can see here, I'll be playing a character named Dremon. He is a paladin of the Draenei race with the Alliance. And if you want, I can go into his backstory now, or we can wait.
Well, let's get what's Illyri's, first of all, her your character's name and your character's race and class.
So I wanted to kick it old school, and because it's kind of like a dream, is I'm just wanting to use my WoW character, which is a night elf hunter called Illyri, because
nice.
That's how I even got the name Illyri in the first place. So. Honestly, I just wanted to, for this, like, I think it'd be really fun to play my WoW character in this game. So I didn't get too creative with it, but in the future, I think I would definitely come up with, like, a Hearthstone character. Mm-hmm. And I'll go Alliance as well, seeing as Avanti's as well.
I know. Yeah. And that's great, actually. That's perfect because, I mean, if you have a character that you're already familiar with, that's even better because, and you said it's a Night Elf Hunter?
So the original was a night elf. If you catch me online playing WoW, it's a panda. For this, I think it would be fun to kind of go back a bit old school with it. So we'll go night elf. Yeah.
Very cool. Cool. So yeah, go ahead and we'll assume this all is going to start off. And basically the hub of all these adventures is your friendly local tavern. So you're going to be basically, you know, showing up to your tavern, and the innkeeper is going to send you out on the quests. So assume that your characters are at a tavern. We'll call it, the Innkeeper Podcast Tavern. That's like right behind us. So go ahead and tell me, Avanti's, your character's story.
So Dremon was raised in a small village in the Shadowmoon Valley region of Draenor. As a child, Dremon dreamed of one day following in the footsteps of his idol, the prophet Valen. However, Dremon had a flaw. He really enjoyed to fight. So this led him in the future down the path of the paladin. He didn't get to solve his problems by speaking. He solved his problems by fighting. And while he was training as a paladin, he excelled in weapons training. And it was at this time that his instructors told him of a sacred weapon known as the Sword of Justice. Dremon set out on a quest to eventually find this sacred weapon, the Sword of Justice, which he now carries with him to this day.
Heck yeah, that's great. So he found it. Oh my gosh.
So...
To wield justice.
And that, as we learned in the rules, ties in my epic card to my deck building.
Oh, okay, that's perfect. All right, so your epic card is the paladin card, Sword of Justice.
That is correct.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Man, I totally missed that. All right. all right. No, Illyria, I don't know. Have you picked an epic card or a general skill yet?
I haven't. I was hoping that chat would be able to help me out with that. And I thought it'd be a bit fun too, just to see what other people, you know, think would be good. So I need an epic card, right? That's going to be all of my decks. So chat, what do you think that I should use? Because there's honestly just so much to choose from.
Yeah.
Do you think, Scott, that there are a few kind of standard ones? Because as an innkeeper, newer players, if they're like, I don't know, like, are there a few that you think would be a good kind of base set of recommendations for?
Well, that's a good idea to have that available. You probably, like, neutral cards are kind of, they're going to be more useful, I guess, than class-specific cards, because then, you know, you'll unlock it for any decks that you have to build. So what are some good neutral epics?
And is this, is this standard or is this wild?
That's a great question. You can make it either for your inn. I made it in wild for my tavern when I ran them through this. It's up to you and your patrons what they feel, what they're having more fun with. I ran these quests aren't super affected by one or the other.
I think we'll go wild. We'll switch okay. Yeah.
All right. So let's just kind of look at some wild. Here, I'm pulling up Hearthstone right now too. So let's look at some wild epic cards. Mm-hmm. That might be fun for your backstory.
Yeah, because basically the backstory behind being a hunter, it's just kind of that wanderlust of wanting to roam and travel and find new lands. Like, that's always been the premise behind my characters, because that's very similar to kind of how I am. But in WoW, like, I just love, like, exploring the new places and the things that allow me to do that. It's following the quest lines, so.
Super cool. Well, we have, like, Call of the Wild as a hunter epic. Let's see, what else do we have here? Doomsayer is an epic. That's pretty good in deck building challenges.
Enhanzo Meccano.
Big Game Hunter is epic.
That's a good one.
Yeah. What else stands out here? I guess like any of the giants, like Sea Giant or Molten Giant, they could tie into a backstory.
And or, chat has no suggestions.
Maybe chat. Your not elf hunter stole a sky golem and was a pilot for a sky golem. There you go, throw in piloted sky golem.
Nice. Oh, that's a great card too. That's one of my favorites. So we have a couple dragons there. There's also Fel Reaver. There's Bittertide Hydra. That's a really good card in a lot of aggressive decks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're starting to get some suggestions. We've got Snake Trap or Dirty Rat.
Oh, nice.
Doomsayer.
What's up, Tom? Good to see you.
I don't know. Captain's Parrot?
No. Captain's Parrot.
Just like a full pirate every time.
Wow. I don't think full pirate even uses Captain's Parrot. Yeah.
I love pirate decks. They're so fun. Mm.
All right. Those are some good suggestions.
There are some good suggestions. I'm thinking probably Doomsayer.
Doomsayer. All right.
Do you guys think Doomsayer? I think.
All right. How would that tie into
your character? Yeah, you're going to tie that story now.
I like it.
I don't know. I don't know. How would you guys tie in Doomsayer? I don't honestly know like the backstory of Doomsayer.
Well, maybe your hunter was out on a quest and he was working on trying to tame a wild beast, and he accidentally ran across a crazy man dressed in red robes who warned him of the end of days that is coming, and he had to stop taming the beast and run off and try to save the world. So because this Doomsayer sent him this this message of evil that's coming the end of days.
Okay, I dig it.
You dig it? All right.
Yeah. Dude, there it is.
Yeah. Who knows if he was actually right, but your character might think he's right. All right, so you have unlocked Doomsayer in any of your decks that you want to build. Now we just have to choose for you a skill, which will unlock other cards for you to use.
Okay.
And the skills, they run the whole gamut.
Yeah. Which one did you pick, Avantes?
I'm actually taking Rare Upgrade.
Yeah.
So Rare Upgrade's like the kind of general, like,
It allows you to add two additional rare cards to any deck.
I honestly, I was looking at that one too.
Cool.
I think that that's just a good standard one to go with until you kind of figure out the areas in which you want to, you know, like Blacksmith, where you may add two epic weapons or one legendary weapon to your deck. Like, I feel like until I've played it a little bit, like, sure, down the line, I might be like, yes. But just to start off, I think having the extra couple of rare cards is going to be more impactful than kind of just in terms of how I play events. So
for chat, I just wanted to read off a couple of options here. Like, Beastborn, you can add two epic beasts to your deck. If you're a Battlecaster, you can add any epic Warrior, Hunter, or Shaman spells to your deck. Small Packages says you can add two epic minions costing three or less mana to your deck. So they're all things that allow you to add epic cards to your deck of some sort, for the most part.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with that. I was sitting here looking at them, and I'm like, gosh, do I want to change my answer? But no.
Yeah, there's one that's a super crazy one, and that's Wealthy. And that one says you can add any basic, rare, epic, and legendary cards to your deck, but you're not allowed to use common cards anymore.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that one earlier today, and I'm like, well, what would my deck look like if I went that route? So I started like planning it out, and I'm like, yeah, I can't make this work like this. But I was
if you can survive to turn seven, though, yeah,
I was
okay.
I was just looking at standard, though. I wasn't thinking about wild at that point in time. So
yeah,
okay. So we have everything we need, I think. We have Illyri, and we have what is Avantes? What's your character's name again? I'm sorry,
Drimmon, D-R-I-M-O-N.
Drimmon. All right, let me write that down. Illyri and Drimmon. They seem like they would adventure together. Okay, so let's just go ahead and kick it off, and we'll go on this adventure. Right. Like I said, and this is something that I want to work on a little bit. I'm going to tweak this first adventure, but I'm going to especially enhance this in the upcoming adventures that I'm releasing. There's not a lot of room for role playing or decision making in this first chapter. So it's really just kind of tells you what happens, and then you go on this, and then you try to solve the challenge, basically.
Cool.
But I'm going to basically read this this first chapter, Rumors in the Tavern. And this first chapter is called Kobolds and Cookery, by the way. Rumors in the Tavern. The innkeeper pulls your group to a cluttered supply room. I'm not going to try the voice. It's too much. I'm just going to use my voice as the innkeeper, because it's Innkeeper Bites, not Innkeeper Hearth. There's a wild rumor going around about the Lamplard Catacombs just outside of Red Ridge. Supposedly, there's a kobold arcanist brewing up something nasty. I'm not sure what he's making, but there's been some farm animals growing extra limbs and getting mighty angry in the surrounding hills. Also, the entire hillside has turned purple, so it shouldn't be too hard to find. I get my beef from that area, so do me a favor and clean up those caverns, and I'll make sure you're compensated. Sound like a good adventure for you guys?
I'm down.
Absolutely.
So the party stocks up on supplies and ventures forth towards the Lamplard Catacombs. After several hours of uneventful travel, you pass to the south of Red Ridge and approach your destination. And just as the innkeeper forewarned, you see the hillside transform abruptly from a verdant green into a lifeless brown, and then into a sickly purple. The surreal landscape proves hard to look upon. The foliage seems pulse and flicker. The wind pulls at the grass and the shrubs, twisting them into different shades and carrying with it a faint aroma of spoiled meat. You resist a brief bout of vertigo as you follow the path towards an opening in the hillside. Approaching the cave mouth, you see several kobolds using squat barrels as chairs and a shield propped up horizontally on rocks as a makeshift table. One of the kobolds slams a card down on the shield, shouting, "Legendary!" causing the second kobold to fall backwards in shock. The first kobold hops up on his barrel and strikes a victorious pose. He turns to your party, eyes widening with shock. "Ah! Why'd you interrupt kobold lunch break? You know good cave. You get stab." The kobolds draw daggers, and they charge at you with an aggressive fury, but you repel their initial onslaught and push them back. You charge in again. I'm sorry. They charge in again, unrelenting in their anger. Again, you hold your ground, but how long can you face this ferocity? Okay, so we have aggro kobolds coming at you, and you have to hold your ground. So what you have to do is pair up into groups of two, which you are, elect one member to defend your team, and then you build a deck and work together to play a match online in casual play. If you can push your opponent into fatigue or win by forfeit after turn five, within two attempts, you win the battle and you get the XP.
So we need to get them to forfeit after five turns.
Yeah, or
get to kill fatigue. Them.
No, if you kill them, then you won't win. Oh. You have to hold them off.
Oh, wow. So either they forfeit or fatigue.
Yeah. If you get to fatigue, you win, though.
Okay.
So wow. Is it if both of us get to fatigue or just the opponent?
The opponent.
Okay. All right. So then I guess we need to, at this point, we need to build a deck.
Right. Yeah. And now you have the idea of what you have to achieve. And you know kind of what you have available to you. You have only common basic cards, and you'll have four rare cards. Plus, you'll have your, depending on who you're using as your hero to hold off the attack, you'll have either the Sword of Justice or you'll have the Doomsayer.
What do you think, O'Leary? Should we go Paladin or Hunter in this fight?
Let's go Paladin, for sure. All right. I think,
and again, you're not required to use Paladin or Hunter. You can go with any class you want. You just have to abide by those rules,
those restrictions.
Yeah. Oh,
so well, if we went to another class, we wouldn't have an epic available to us.
No, you still have the epic available to you. Oh. You just wouldn't. So as you level up past level two, there's certain features that unlock that are class specific. But otherwise, you're free to use whatever you want to use. I didn't want to wall people in because these deck building challenges can be a little bit tricky, and you want to give them enough options, especially with just having common and basic cards.
Okay, so
let's
try it with the Paladin first and see what happens. If this doesn't work, I have an idea in mind for a deck that I'm pretty sure we can get the opponent to forfeit with.
We could do Murloc Paladin.
I'll say Murloc Paladin will do it.
All right. But remember, we're limited on what Murlocs we can use.
No, we're not, right? We can build anything.
No, you're still limited.
Within the restraints.
Yeah. Oh. So only basic or common cards, but you'll have four rare cards available to you.
Four rare cards and then the Sword of Justice. Can we use both Sword of Justice too?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So and you can build this in Wild. Thanks for reminding me, Marspad.
Well, that is what we're going to do. So there's the Sword of Justice. Now, since we are able to do this in Wild with four rares, what do you think about Dude Paladin?
Rude, you can feel free to hop in and help too if you'd like. You're more than welcome to.
Yeah, I'm taking this all in right now, so.
Cool.
I'm playing the innkeeper on the wall.
Yeah, I was thinking with Dude Paladin, we have Muster for Battle. We have Lost in the Jungle. We would have access to, what's the 5-mana one? Stand Against Darkness. So we could generate lots of little guys. And then with our other two rares, since we're putting in Muster for Battle, we could put in... what's the Stegodon that gives them... Oh, Light Fused Stegodon, which gives all of your Silver Hands Adapt.
Ooh.
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, let's give it a go.
All right.
And chat, if you have any options that you think we should be using, any cards, definitely let us know.
I think Marspad's letting you know. Pretty hard.
Something about some kind of bot.
Some kind of bot. Yeah, okay. Well, just for Marspad, we'll throw that in there. All right.
Is it a boom? Is it a boom bot?
All right. Let's see. So sticking on. So there's our four rares and our epic. So now we are limited to just basics and commons from here on out.
Yeah. Paladin's got a lot of good ones, so you're in good shape.
So, all right.
Be concentrating on some heals here. You going for a fatigue?
Well, we need to...
Or a concede.
I'm thinking if we can get enough big dudes out, you know, we can get them to concede before they die.
All right. So what is the... Bites, did you put anything in there for any kind of BM or just negative playing from a person? Like if they're going to sit there and rope the person into conceding, you know, what's your stance on that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's not something I actually thought of for this one. Well, yeah, that's a good point. This is the only challenge that actually it happens against someone else that's not at the Fireside Gathering.
Okay. But they could be at your Fireside Gathering. You could challenge somebody right there, could you not?
They could. This specific challenge, I wanted it to be in online casual play because it's kind of hard to... I don't know. It's a little bit difficult to guarantee that someone won't kind of game the system on this one.
Gotcha. Okay, I understand that.
You know, like help someone get into fatigue.
They'll just concede real, you know, off on turn three. All right.
Oh, equality is rare.
Is it? Oh, you're right.
You do.
Good. Thank you for pointing that out.
Now, are you going to actually check decks before they start the game? Or
because you're not going to have a luxury of doing it. It's mostly honor system.
Okay.
But, yeah. You know, I'll walk around and help people and I'll look at their decks and I'll talk to them. It's a really good opportunity when people are deck building. One of the reasons I like to do this is so every single challenge is you partner up with another person in this first adventure. And every time you do it, you're supposed to partner up with a different person. So it gets people talking to each other and interacting, which is amazing always. You get different inputs and you get people kind of that become friends over, you know, just when they get partnered up with someone they might not normally talk to. But then I can also walk around. I can look at their decks. It's a way for me to ask about what they're doing and then kind of reinforce like, oh, that's a really good idea. Or, oh, have you thought about this? And, you know, it's something to interact over.
Isn't there about to ask if there's a keyword search for common or a rare?
Bone marrow. Good call.
No, that was Marspad. I'm actually taking him up more. On Piloted Shredder.
I thought about until you hit like a certain level,
there you go.
Like or having a certain group of cards that are. Too powerful, like too powerful commons, like move to a separate list that you get when you level up.
All right. Well, I think we have a deck that we can test out.
Remember, you only get two chances at this.
Yeah.
Unless your opponent concedes before turn five. That doesn't count. We had someone concede on turn one.
Oh, and I'm like, really? Oh, so they have to make it to at least turn five.
Right, because some people, when you're in online casual play, they just concede instantly.
Sure, sure, sure.
All right.
Which is how I get my wins. So.
What do you think, chat? Heavy on four drops, but should be good. Cut a chill blade for another shredder. I agree with that, Adidas. I agree with that.
Adidas helped me with an arena run recently that I didn't tell you how it ended up. It was the strongest mage deck I think I've ever... drafted and end up going to 11 wins, not to 12.
Wow.
I felt very sad.
Oh, so right. Close.
So, chat, do we like where this is now?
I think it looks good.
Well, you got some spells. I guess you have a lot of dudes. I was going to say... Oh, never mind. Wild Pyromancer is rare anyway.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All
right. Yep. Well,
all right, let's do it. Yeah. Let's take it online. We can all critique the gameplay of your opponent.
That is like the longest deck name ever.
Yeah, I actually built one earlier when I was kind of playtesting. So I'm going to delete that one since we're playing in Wild. All right.
Are we going to choose the mulligan together as well here?
That's what we do on Hero Power.
Yes.
So, all right. Let's see what happens. I'm excited. I want to kill these kobolds. I want experience.
What's up, Heavy Mental?
As you should.
Just as a recap, right now our heroes, Dremon and Illyri, are adventuring to the Lamplard Catacombs in search of some sort of weird kobold arcanist. They found some guards outside of the entrance of the cave who charged them, and they're very aggressive, and they keep fighting them off, but they keep coming at them. So they had to build a deck and bring it into online casual play and try to bring their opponent into fatigue or get them to concede and run away after turn 5.
A priest. I say get rid of the weapon. Keep everything else.
That looks good to me.
Yeah, there you go.
Value. Yeah, and the interesting thing about this is casual play does have like an MMR to it, like Tom said. And so it has a way of kind of balancing itself a little bit. Like if someone's really good, they're going to go against some really good opponents. Well, is it worth the value of playing Smuggler's Run on turn 1? You only hit your two targets. But it'll allow you to curve.
And you're against Priest, right?
Going against Priest, yeah.
I feel like it's good against Priest to do that. Or that it's fine to do it, that it's not. You know.
You should get a lot of value out of the Murloc, I would think.
Yeah.
You can often, and now that you're playing also in Wild, you'll get Avenge as an option. Mm-hmm. All right, talk us through. Oh, Vontes, I think you're muted.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I kind of like the getaway Kodo, because if they kill the Murloc, we could cast him again.
Yeah.
And get double... get double value.
Repentance is always good against priests, though, as well.
Yeah. So what do you think? Root suggestions?
I like to get away Kodo myself.
All right.
But I was going to say do what Illyri says. So we're at turn 2. We're going to get the concede here any moment now. I can feel it coming.
No, so we have to start over.
I don't see any cards moving on the opponent's side. This is going to be a timeout or a concede. No. Nothing going on. Nope, there it goes.
Nope, must be a bot. Playing casual.
Yeah. You got to level up somehow.
All right, so now I think we... we drop the muster for battle here, and then next turn, Keeper of Ulduman, one of them.
Yep, that's...
Looking good. This kobold is dressed up as
a
priest.
Did you not attack?
No, it's still his turn. Oh, Spirit Lash.
Oh, get wrecked. Oh, there we go. That's a good draw for turn 4.
Yeah.
We have people with microphones here. We're not commentating this.
Yeah, so
I don't know what's going on.
So explain to me, Avantes, why you're not attacking with your hero.
Well, I was saving the.
Okay.
I was saving the attack, but so now. Let's see. Oh man, Raza Priest. So I think what we're going to do is how best to handle this. Do we set it to 3 and kill it? Or do we give the Shredder Divine Shield and then use our face to clear it?
You can Blessing of Kings and Getaway Coda. Right? So that if he does kill it after, you're set up to still get another... Like, it won't die this turn, but like when it does die, we'll get another Shredder, and that's just giving
it is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll poke him just so y'all are happy.
I appreciate that, yeah.
Although he has a free heal, so.
That's all right. Make him use it.
Yeah, Marspad says I need to be like commentating the or storytelling the gameplay. Like,
yeah, there you go.
All of a sudden, a piloted Shredder comes out of nowhere. Paladin steps up and provides him a blessing. I don't know how you would roleplay secrets.
I wonder what that is.
A mysterious spell is cast. What could it be?
Oh, I like this.
That's okay. Yeah.
So I think I'm going to Smuggler's Run. I'm going to clear the 1-1.
Nice.
Then I'm going to Argent Protector and Hero Power.
Okay.
Seems good. Just remember not to kill your opponent. You're doing so good. I guess you can get to that point where you have a lethal on board and then just kind you of just rope them and like, or just like end turn and like,
and maybe then they start healing back up and like, oh, yeah. What's he doing? He's, we'll get the one guy that's like, I never concede in a game ever.
I refuse. I'll take this to my death.
Yeah. So Avanti's character is actually a Draenor, right? A Draenor.
Draenei, yes.
Draenei, rather.
From Draenor.
Draenor, yeah. Sorry. I never have played a Draenei in my life.
So here comes the concede. It's coming up.
Oh, we're past turn 5, so that would count.
Past turn 5. This guy's just taking this. Yeah. See, when I don't see the cards moving and we get into this kind of thing, it's not a rope.
Well,
it's not being.
Yeah, it could be that they're playing on a touch device.
Maybe they went to the bathroom.
Nah, it's gonna rope. Yeah, and then
On Hero Power, we say if they're roping, they might be wiping.
That's interesting.
Oh, wow.
See, that's way too long to make that kind of play.
Yeah. Oh, well, I saved you guys the effort of triggering that secret on the 1-1.
All right, so what do we do now?
I think we play the outfitter, we play the keeper, set this to 3, kill it with the dude,
yep.
And hit him for 8.
I wouldn't hit him, but go ahead.
Why wouldn't we hit him?
All right, yeah, I hit him. Is what 16 now?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So now is when you hope for the concede.
Yeah, well, next turn we'll have lethal unless he does a board clear. So
right, which you could do with Anduin, with Shadow Reaper. Oh, yeah. Shadowward Horror.
Yes.
But.
All right.
Just feel so quiet without the music.
Yeah, so,
what, do you want to sing along with us, or?
Dum, da, 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 dum, 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 da, 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 dum.
We're gonna reapply the shield.
That's a big hit. Show him who's boss, but don't kill him.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right, so now
that's where you see like the mind control tech that takes the
8,
the piloted Shredder.
Yeah. So we can't kill, right? I'm just reiterating. We cannot kill this guy.
Correct.
We have to get the concede.
Yeah. So we saw a few people that made mill decks, and they... Oh, there we go.
Oh.
Oh, now you can hurt him some more, at least.
Yeah.
Where now, do the kobolds get a Reno?
What do we do in the case of an actual timeout? Is that considered a victory after turn three? Or turn five, rather?
What do you mean a timeout? Where they
someone just ropes out, they're gone, disconnect, your opponent has left the game.
Sure,
Is that considered a victory in that case?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's considered a victory. It basically, in that situation, the role-playing is the kobolds, you know, finally break down and run away.
Hero power. I was going to say, you can't. You, of all people, cannot forget your hero power.
Don't forget to use your hero power. That's our tagline.
I know it is. You, of all people, cannot forget to use your hero power. All right, so he doesn't have – he might have another big heal.
Priest of the Feast.
By the way, I forgot to mention early on, but if anyone's watching and they actually want to play along, you guys can. You can make decks, and you can go and run the same encounters that we're going through.
You just have to choose different names because it'll get really confusing.
What's that?
Never mind.
For the other encounters that we're having through this adventure, you'll need one other person to play with. This one you can play against ladder, but the other ones require you to use your party members. All right, so
we're going to top deck from here on out. It's good. Okay.
He's gonna
now the concede. Now
down to two, three cards
on the board.
Yes! Yes! Yes.
All right, so the kobolds run away. Congratulations, and you guys
you got gold,
30 experience points as well.
Woo-hoo.
There should be a space on your character sheet to track this.
So Bites, you ought to have something in here that if like Avanti's just completed a quest outside of the game, outside of anything else, just within Hearthstone, completed the quest, got 10 gold. There should be something in there that if you do that while you're playing, you should get some little bonus somewhere.
Okay. So, like, okay. What if you already completed all your quests?
Well, that's your dumb luck. It's just, you know. Oh, okay. Maybe just give them, like, as the innkeeper. I would do something like, hey, you completed a quest. I'll give you 40 gold. What's it for? We'll figure that out later. You know, you just grant, you know.
All right. So
all right.
30 experience. So the class features don't actually start until level 2, correct?
Right, which is at 100 experience points.
Okay. Gotcha. So
I made this first chapter basically take you through level 1 and like most way to level 2. Or I'm sorry, take you to level 2 and most of the way to level 3.
Yeah.
It unlocks some of the abilities, but not more than that. You know?
I had kind of taken the idea of Dude Paladin based around the rare Paladin class feature of if you finish the game with 3 or more Silver Hands, you get bonus XP. So I was like, yes, it works.
Yeah. Yeah, that works well. It's really good with if you can kill them with the what's the blade that summons the three dudes or two dudes?
The Vine Cleaver.
Vine Cleaver, yeah. There you go. Okay, so the kobolds flee in terror from your amazing prowess and your shiny sword of justice. So you finally go into the catacomb. You enter the crude cave, and the mouth narrows into an uncomfortably tight tunnel. Torches line the cave walls, brightly lighting the tunnel and making the corridor increasingly warm. You feel stifled by a combination of humidity and an acrid aroma. You come around the corner and you notice an odd splotch of green clinging to the cave wall. You cautiously move closer to investigate the strange patch, which shimmers in the torchlight. Inches away from the wall, you raise your hand towards the translucent shape, and it springs off the wall and attaches to your face. You try to scream, but the gelatinous shape fills your mouth and your nose. You flail and start to panic, and then you turn to your ally, gesturing desperately for help. So now you have an ooze trap on your face.
On your face.
You have to pair up into groups of two, which you're in, and then you're supposed to also play with a different party member if possible, which is not possible this time. Create a deck and challenge each other to a duel. You have to work together to kill the one player and simulate killing the trap off of his face, basically. You have to do it before turn 6 when he suffocates. If you can do it by turn 4, then you get bonus experience points.
So you're dueling each other and collectively trying to kill one of you?
Yeah, correct. That's correct.
All right.
Yeah. So one, who do one you player is trying to kill themselves, and the other player is trying to help them.
Okay, so one should be a warlock.
There's a few ways to go about this.
I'm confused.
Yeah, so in this fight, you need to build a deck, O'Leary, because you and I have to duel.
Correct.
And what? Okay. And now you have to choose ahead of time who's going to lose in this one. You know who has the face hugger.
Yeah.
Because right. If Avantis has the face hugger, Avantis has to be the one to lose, right?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
So we'll assume at this point that Avantis is trapped. He has the ooze on his face. O'Leary, you need to build a deck that will kill Avantis as quick as possible, and Avantis needs to build a deck that'll help you kill him as quick as possible. So you have to kill Avantis together by turn six.
And it doesn't have to be my hunter deck?
Nope.
Like, you don't build... have to play hunter?
Nope. If it's face hunter, sure. Let's go.
Yeah, like, can I play hunter?
Yeah. So I'm going to build a deck to help you kill me quickly.
Okay. Hey, and Marspad and Adidas, if you guys want to try this also, go for it. We had two groups in our playtest group.
I like that, Adidas. Yeah, I like that. That's a good option.
Yeah, Cursed Blade is pretty good. We had two groups finish this by turn three.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you can't concede, so that's not the way to kill yourself.
Correct.
At all. So it's not even like by turn five. There's zero concede.
So between the two of you, you should discuss kind of what your strategy is going to be. Some people go with the strategy of like Warlock and then, you know, drawing the card, trying to draw the card that lets them use their health for spell damage.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Unlicensed apothecary, and then trying to get them to summon creatures to... yeah, so anyway, there's a lot of options here.
Yeah, I was actually thinking going Warlock and tapping and using Blood Bloom, and let's try that.
I can use... two rares because of my skill?
Four because you took the skill.
Because you took a rare upgrade.
Okay, and that's it. Just commons besides Doomsayer, which I don't think works for this one.
Right, probably not.
Hmm.
I'll tell you a little bit about the other ones that we're able to achieve this incredibly quickly, maybe after you guys build your decks, or after you finish it. Yeah, the fact that you can't use epics or legendaries, it makes this a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, because you didn't take anything like that for your skills.
Right. So when you're picking skills, that's something important to think about, because when you're picking skills, you're not just picking for your class. Like, even if you're playing warrior, you could take arcane caster that allows you to add epic, warlock, and mage spells, because there might be a time where you have to build a warlock or mage deck.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
That's something very important to think about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be really interesting here in, I would say, a couple weeks to a month when the game has had its course and been run by several taverns and people start min-maxing it for you.
Yeah. Doesn't take long, man. I already have the players that I play tested with kind of chat at me a few times like, oh, I should have tried this.
Yeah, see, I can see like what Vondi's already did. He's like, I should have done, you know, chosen this. Because now I see where that would be advantageous to me.
Yeah. And the bonus XP you get for finishing this in like four turns, like most of these quests you can't go back and complete, but you can go back and get the bonus XP in the future. Yeah. So if you want to go back and try to solve this puzzle by, you know, getting to do it by turn four, you can do that. What were you saying, Adidas spreading madness?
Oh.
Is good Warlock?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a good one.
If you have, like, Bittertide Hydra, it's pretty good.
Oh, but it's
it's epic. Dang.
Yeah, I only have the one Spreading Madness, so that's one of my rares.
Ooh. We had a group do this with pretty much all commons.
That's three rares.
So do we have to do this in six turns?
Yeah.
Or we lose?
Or you lose. Yep.
And that facehugger wins, and we don't want the facehugger to win.
Yeah. You don't die.
Were you watching Stranger Things when you wrote this one?
Maybe. Actually, I think it was. Maybe. I must have been influenced.
It's maybe a little slight. I like it, though.
No, you can... Sorry, this is a heavy mental. You can use cards above six. That's not a restriction. But no. Oh, yeah, but you probably don't want to unless you're going with something like Blood Bloom.
Which you can't because it's an epic.
Yeah, so you probably don't want Abyssal Enforcer in your deck.
Yeah, that's true, because I won't get there. I'll be dead before that happens.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Are you going to play Hopefully. Spells?
I have Soulfire to target myself. I have Dark Bomb to target myself. And I have Hellfire to deal 3 damage.
Should I throw a couple Stone Splinter Trogs in my deck?
Yeah, they'll get buffed by your spell.
Every time you use a spell,
yeah.
It starts as a 2/3. Maybe? I'll put one in. We'll see how it goes. This is hard.
What about chat? Any other ideas from chat on what you would try? And you're welcome to try it, but Cursed Blade, I know Adidas is recommended.
Yeah, do you have Bomb Squads, O'Leary? They're turn 5, deal 5 damage to your opponent the turn they come into play.
Well, they deal to a minion, right?
No. Yeah. Oh, you're right. It's 5 to the hero on death, so yeah, you don't need... I need Bomb Squad, you don't. Because I need them to kill me.
You need the Bomb Squad.
It's a very interesting way to build a deck, is. I don't think you've ever had to build one like this before, have you, Avantes?
No, it really is.
It's kind of counterintuitive. Or it's like how I play, by mistake. It's like, no, Root, you're supposed to damage the other people. Oh!
Okay.
Actually,
which Baron should I?
Boombot. Is that talking about? Oh, Baron. Oh, Baron Rivendare is what he's talking about, but that's a legendary.
Yeah, I was like.
All right, so there's
but
my
it's
four.
A way to super quick kill yourself.
There's my four rares. So now I just need to find a way to kill myself outside of these cards.
You know, you don't... all right, Scott, I'm going to ask another question here.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm like Mr. Rule Stickler. Does Avantes have a limit of how many cards he actually has to have in his deck?
You can't play with less
than... Yeah, you can't play with less than 30. It won't let you choose the deck.
Then there's that. I mean, if you want to go with official Hearthstone rules and stuff.
Yeah, you can... Just throw your iPad on the ground.
Leper gnomes, O'Leary. That's 2 damage to my face.
I got the leper gnomes.
Yeah, heavy mental. That's a good plan. That's something that we saw work pretty well.
Yeah, I'm thinking I gotta put more buff in here because, I've got Argent Horse Riders.
Avantes, do you have any buffs that you can buff her minions with?
I don't think so. Yeah, friendly minion. Friendly.
While you guys are still building this, let me. I guess I'll tell you just a little bit about the rules that I had for the cup. Do you guys mind if I do that?
No, they're pretty fun.
So I had the Crack Cup this weekend, and I wanted to make a tournament that was competitive but had a bunch of weird rules. I like coming up with very weird rules and weird game systems. So the Crack Cup had a banned list to start. That's this thing here. The banned list was also the drink menu, and we turned like the bans into drinks. So like they got outcast from the game and they got made into cocktails instead. But the banned list had basically like all the meta cards that are super overpowered. Then all of the games were, all the decks for the matches were built in standard, but all the games were played in wild. So that was cool. People could make their decks worse and get bonus points every time they played. So I have a list of like bad cards that could be added to the deck. You have to add a package of 7 cards to your deck to get bonus points. And then there's also 3 disadvantages you can choose from to add, where you can, your opponent gets to look at your hand and mulligan for you, or they take cards out of your deck and replace them with the suggested deck. Or you have to get rid of all the 5 drops in your deck. So, it was a fun event where you had to basically wreck your deck and disadvantage yourself in order to get more points in order to make it to the next round.
Nice.
Cool. How are you? Ready. You're ready. Okay.
Ooh, did you put Wretched Tiller? Did you put Wretched Tiller in your deck?
What? No.
Wretched Tiller. That's a good one.
Did I?
It's a 1 drop that does 2 extra damage when it attacks. To your face?
Wait, to my face? Or
no, to the opponent's
face. Would be to my face.
Idea, so that's another good one. The Divine Spirit Inner Fire.
Oh, I'm stupid. Absolutely. It's like, I feel like when I scan the collection, there's just some cards that, like, because you're so used to not, like, considering them.
For you never use them, yeah. Can't attack. Why would I take that?
Like, you don't see it, right? Okay, we can take stuff out for that.
No, I don't want to do that, because then you'll have to kill it before you can hit my face. I was thinking, but again, it's an epic, so it doesn't matter what I was thinking. So hard. Bites, this is difficult.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Warlock actually doesn't have a ton of things that you can do other than the very, like, other than tapping every turn.
Yeah.
Playing flame imps. Did you have Unlicensed Apothecary in there?
I don't think I do. Because it's like a 5.
Is it epic? Oh, is it 5? Or 4?
Maybe I don't have any.
So, just to.
I don't actually have Unlicensed Apothecary.
Oh,
but it is epic.
Build it.
But oh, it is an epic. Epic. Okay. So it doesn't matter. All right.
You so can share by sharing each other's. Dirty Rat. That would be good, but that's also epic.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Try to cheat out her minions faster.
Yeah, but then, you would have to get through the minion too.
Yeah, they wanted to think. Wanted to thank everybody for sticking with us. This is a little bit of a longer episode, but I think it's worth it to see how this game plays out so that when we do play it in our respective taverns, we have a great idea what's happening. So I know we're running a little long tonight, but I think it's worth it. So thanks for hanging with us.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even realize we've gone as long as we did. Sorry.
Yeah, fine. It's good.
I'm just going to throw
the final boss is up next. So.
Some little minions and just be done. So
yeah, I'm going to run through my deck real quick.
It's going to be past Illyri's bedtime, though. She turns into a pumpkin pretty soon.
Uh-oh. I'm so tired. Like, I'm actually, like, so quickly. So I have 2 Arcane Shot, 2 Lepronome, 2 On the Hunt, 2 Southsea Deckhand, 2 Stone Tusk Boar, 2 Wretched Teller, 2 Bluegill Warrior, 2 Direwolf Alpha, 2 Glaivezuka, 2 Quickshot, 1 Stone Splinter Trog, 2 Animal Companion, 2 Argent Horse Rider, 1 Demolisher, 2 Eagle Horn Bow, and 2 Kill Command.
Nice. That's pretty aggro.
All right.
It's pretty. It's just like all the face things.
Yeah.
All right. I'm excited to see if you guys can do this.
6 turns, so.
Here we go.
And here we go.
We're playing?
Yeah. If you respond, that is. She declined it. What are you doing?
I did it.
Oh, right. You also have to turn six up turns. Nemzi's emotes. Yeah. Oh, we're not going to be able to hear her emotes. Oh, I'm so sad.
All right. I'll turn them up.
You can hear. Well, yeah, if I put my sound on, it'll be echo.
Can you guys hear that?
Not
a little bit.
Oh. Yeah. I'm deaf. And Scott only has one headphone in, so.
Yeah. I have a hard time hearing, like, talking when I have two headphones in. Like, unless I have a preview channel.
Oh, yeah. Get rid of those fours. Yep.
Okay, we're good.
Not bad. Not bad.
No, that's not bad.
Okay, I have Arcane Shell, Alcon, Stone Tusk Boar, and Eagle Horn Bow with the coin. So.
All right. So I'm going to start with the damage.
Just do some Nemzi emotes.
That was pretty appropriate. You kind of are friends. Remember, don't trade.
No.
Did you hear? Nice.
Take that, face.
This is so hard. I'm going against every, like...
Every, yeah. I like it, though. Nice. The weapon.
Oh, that's
play.
Great. Oh,
this idea. So we're going into turn three. We got to do 22 points worth of damage here. 21. All right, we got this.
Yeah, piece of cake. Okay.
Draw a card.
Tap last. Always good.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to have this by turn six. Is that the case?
That's the case.
Turn six, correct.
Does turn six count?
Yeah, if you're on turn six, that counts.
All right, so, yeah, all right.
Remember, turn four is bonus XP.
Mm.
Gotcha.
Okay, do, like we want to be able to do this, maybe.
Interesting.
See?
The coin is
okay,
charge. Nice.
Can you
you have technically have lethal on yourself. If all of the, if everything goes to face.
If all of the spreading madness go to face.
Oh, wow. All right, yeah. Let's roll with it. Roll with it. Do it.
But then I could clear all the minions.
You could clear a bunch of damage on the side.
So I think I'm just.
I have 9 damage. If you don't have a taunt, I can kill you next turn. So go
I do not. So I will tap.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So I think you're going to get it by turn four.
Here we go. Yes, you do. Yes. I'm dead.
Have you ever wished for that so much?
Wait, before we do this.
Okay. Hey, see me no more. Just, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're going to BM your party member?
Let's just see what we would get.
Yeah.
Just curious, you know.
That would have been
cool. We did it! Turn four, too.
Woo!
Nice. Awesome. So that's bonus XP. So you guys get 60 experience points for that one.
I lived to fight another day.
That's like one of my normal games, so... That's pretty cool.
Thanks. So, so that was an interesting encounter, I think. It's kind of fun. Originally, I set this at turn 3 and turn 5, which might be the right difficulty, because turn 4 seemed pretty doable.
I got really lucky with what I started with. Like, I had, like, 3 ones, and, like, it was... Like, I lucked out.
I had a good bit of self-damage in my opening hand, too.
You did. Yeah, we should try it out a few more times and see what the average is. With different decks. So yeah, the turn 3 was almost turn 2, actually. We had a player playing a druid deck, an aggro druid deck, and another player playing a paladin, buffing all of their minions.
Oh,
so they kept summoning minions and then super buffing them with like Blessing of Might and stuff like that. So they were almost dead by turn like 2.
I yanked it off, ate the slime off my face.
Yes.
I forgot that was on there, and I was really confused with what you were doing. I was like, what is happening?
Well, we'll keep cruising. I know we're running late, so I'll give you we're moving into the boss fight. There's technically more encounters after this, but I'll kind of brush past those really quickly. Turning the corner exposes an earthen passageway, which leads to a larger, brightly lit room in the distance. Taking a step down the corridor, you're struck with a noxious humidity, which makes your skin crawl and your stomach flip upside down. Walking further down the tunnel, you notice the ceiling and walls are coated in a thick layer of opaque grease. Above, the fat gathers in thick globules and form dozens of misshapen dripping stalactites. Small puddles of stagnant grease gather on the floor, reflecting oily rainbow swirls. As you sidestep the slick pools, the stench invades your nostrils and your brow starts to glisten with sweat. You walk into the brightly lit chamber at the end of the passageway and see a kobold standing atop a blackened ladder, leaning over a giant charred cast iron cauldron. The cauldron hangs from thick chains over white hot coals in a ravaging fire. Thick oil bubbles and spits violently as the kobold tosses in a writhing tentacled creature. There's a shrill cry of pain, which Chef Greff seems to delight in. Greff sees you and pulls out a wicked butcher's cleaver. He cackles madly and bares his teeth with a snarl before leaping off the grease-covered ladder towards you. He misjudges his leap, though, and topples the ladder below him, causing him to fall into his cauldron. He screams in agony but quickly pulls himself free of the boiling oil, tipping the cauldron over onto the coals. Greff and pretty much all of the room erupt into fiery cacophony. Engulfed in flame, Greff charges you. All right, so to defeat Greff, you have to pair up into groups of two, again, playing with a different party member if possible. And you and the other party member have to put out the flaming cauldron fires and Greff. You have to work together in a friendly duel to get at least 12 summoned minions frozen at the same time. The first team to complete this quest receives 30 bonus experience points. So for this specific encounter, we found it's really not hard to freeze 12 minions if you work together and you build the decks correctly. So we made this a race instead. It won't really work with just two of you here as a race.
Right.
But that's kind of the fun of it. It's basically like 1, 2, 3, go, and then you have to build your deck, and you have to race to get 12 minions frozen on the board at the same time. So that's kind of how the boss fight works for the encounter with Chef Greff. Okay. We don't necessarily need to do that fight since we're running a little bit behind.
Right.
So we can just kind of go move along to the next part if you like.
Okay.
And then after the fires are extinguished, you scan the room and you see shelves lined with acidic potions. Closer search reveals a small but heavy iron lockbox. You grab some vials to bring back to the innkeeper as well as the lockbox. You make your way out of the smoke-filled tunnels and back into the open field above. Your lungs take in the crisp air, allowing you to clear your head and shake off the queasy, lightheaded sensation you felt moments ago. Your party finds a wooden clearing short distance away and take a moment to break open the lockbox. A simple rusted lock doesn't take much force to crack open, and it reveals a cache of mostly bronze coins. There's several glittering silver coins mixed at the bottom, as well as a strange purple candle. So now is when you actually get to challenge each other to see who gets the candle. Mm. So this is like the treasure room at the end of the quest, and you guys get to build decks and actually challenge each other to see who gets the treasure points. I don't know how we're doing on time. We don't necessarily need to do this.
No, I want to see it.
You want to see it. Okay, we want to see a match. Go ahead. You have your rules. You know what you have access to. So it's up to you to build a deck, your best deck possible, to take on your opponent.
Okay. Well, I'm going to just play my paladin deck that we built earlier. So, Illyria, if you want to build a deck real fast, feel free. Or if you want to play
and while you're building the deck,
you can do that.
Yeah, I can kind of quickly tell you what happens with the rest of the story or how the rest of the game would work. Basically, that's the end of the first module, but when you go back to the tavern, the innkeeper welcomes you and buys you drinks, and there you start to tell your story to everyone that about this adventure. There's like a bard that starts to make a song dedicated to your adventure, and Everyone gets basically one treasure point for completing the adventure. There's a feature built into this now called the training yard. And the training yard is basically how you would get more treasure points and experience points outside of the adventure. You can, each time you go to a fireside gathering, challenge up to three players to a duel using your deck building restrictions. And depending on how many of those adventures you win, you get extra experience points and treasure points. So if you win zero, you get a certain amount. One, you get a certain amount. Two, three, you get more and more experience and treasure points. So that's called the training yard. And that's kind of how you would get extra points.
Okay.
Sound cool? So that's pretty much the first module. I really want to work on encouraging, you know, more role-playing and interaction. I think part of the issue with the first adventure is that it takes a little while to build your characters and to understand how the game works. So hopefully moving on to future modules, it won't take as long to get things started. You can just hop in, you can do the encounters really quick, you can hit the training yard, and that should all take hopefully within 2 hours.
Okay. Illyria, it still says waiting on you to select a deck.
Yeah, because he was talking.
Sorry.
All right.
Man, do you know how many players that have been on a broadcast and they just hit choose and it's like, we didn't tell you to go yet.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought you were building a deck, so I was talking.
No, I didn't mind waiting. It's okay. The whole point of this is so you can explain like the grand scheme of the whole thing.
Yeah, and Marspad asked the question, so everyone goes through the adventure as a tavern. Yeah, this is scalable to any size. So, and you don't even need an innkeeper. Everything's written out, so you can actually just kind of go through. You can hand this to your players if they want to do it, and they can just go through it. It's more fun to do it as, you know, a role playing experience with an innkeeper, a DM, basically. But yeah, that's the idea. Is you can run as many people through this as you want at the same time. You just have to have people group up into teams of two.
I like it. That's really neat. It was a really great idea that O'Leary had, that you adapted into this system, and I'm liking it. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. I'm glad you like it. Yeah, we had a really good time playing it.
It was kind of funny because I had this like light flash on for this idea, and then I messaged Scott about it like that day. Like, and there's a time difference between Scott and I of like 4 hours, and I'm on the way to work, so it's like 7 a.m. in the morning for me. And I think that I like tried, I can't remember if I did, I think I didn't. I think I just messaged you and I was like, hey, I just had a major brainwave, like, let's talk today. And then within a week, other people in the Discord server were other people in the Discord server were they were posting like dungeon ideas, and I was like, well, great minds think alike, you know, like there's been a few other innkeepers that have been creating like dungeon D&D feel kind of side events, so it's really exciting to see one like this that is like a kind of like a big chunk of something to do, especially where we're in a bit of off season right now. Know, you can switch up what you're doing, and like maybe once, like if you have weekly events, weekly firesides, you could always have it so one of those is a D&D night and switch it up a bit. So
yeah, pretty this cool definitely stuff. Works good on a weekly kind of like or bi-weekly thing. I think there's some people that are also taking this and making it into a one shot, which is a really great idea, I think. Mm-hmm. And instead of having to make it something that you do over and over and over again, if you can just have, you know, one of your firesides have this adventure, you can definitely shorten it up and make that happen.
No, my laptop's really slow.
Oh, yeah, already blaming the computer.
Oh, it's like really slow.
Okay. Barely runs Hearthstone, won't run Skype. We get it.
I like won't run Skype. It hates, like it just doesn't. I've downloaded it, I don't know how many times. It's just like, nope.
Show no mercy. You want that candle.
That's worth 2 treasure points. I was going to say we just, rock, paper, scissors for it, but no, Root said we had to fight to the death.
Oh, yeah. Death. I want some carnage.
Two show hosts enter, only one leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, you actually get fired if you whoever loses this.
Really?
Sorry.
I get fired at the end of every show. It's okay.
Okay.
Well, it depends.
It hasn't yet.
So, you know, like I said, when we played this initially, and by the way, at this point in the adventure, I think you would have leveled up as well. Because after the Chef Gref fight, you you gain a level. So you would have gotten to pick another skill, and you would have gotten the bonus rare ability for your class.
Oh.
Yes.
I see how it is.
Yeah. So that, you know, once you go through the first three encounters, you get a better idea of kind of what you want out of the skills. So it gives you, you know, some more thought process into what you want to select. The Hunter rare ability is called Summon Best Friend, and it actually gives you access to a legendary beast. And it's called Your Best Friend. And every time you finish a game, like a match against someone or a quest with that best friend beast on the board, you get bonus XP.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Like it?
Ah! It froze!
Oh, your game actually froze?
Oh, no.
Yeah, adjacent minions. Good. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's why the Demolisher went on the wrong side?
Yeah, a little bit. I was just trying to get it out because it was freezing. Didn't matter anyway.
Wow, no respect for the Demolisher. Brave man. Yeah, I hope there is more of a sense this way of progression, because we felt like already by level two before, like all the skills that would give you epic and legendary minions, like two epics and one legendary minion. So by level two, you already had access to two legendary minions and like a few epics, and it felt like, oh, I can already have like pretty epic deck already.
No, I like the feel of it. I was, you know, I was interested to see how it played out. I really like the feel. I like the thought process that goes into each of the different levels. I love how you've incorporated it all into a great storyline that's obviously well thought out, well developed, well planned. And I like watching both Avantes and Leary go through the motions, so to speak, of having to build a deck that they weren't familiar with, trying to find the best solution as a team, and now finally facing off against each other. It really drives home a lot of different, both the cooperative and the actual gameplay of Hearthstone. I really, really like that out of this.
Awesome. That's great. It's great to hear. That's kind of that was the goal. Hooray. Yeah. You'll have to let me know, and chat, let me know too. You know, like I play tested this a couple times now, but it's still, you know, in its first couple iterations. So, like, if there's things that you think need to change, then or suggestions you have, let me know. And if you have ideas for stories that you want to see, then you can write them. And, you know, I'll put them into the template I have for making them look like D&D and release them.
I like this.
I'm kind of hoping that that some of the innkeepers will step up and release some modules, because I plan on releasing maybe like four or five of them myself. But you know, it's not something that maybe should go on too long, just over the course of Cobalt and Catacombs.
So are you going to release voice packs with this as well, so people can just play the voices?
You know,
and the character
actually, I recorded this first first adventure, and I was going to release it on YouTube, but I decided not to. But yeah, release, I mean, I could easily
release them as MP3s, and I could just, you know, or any other innkeeper could queue them up as people are doing the challenges, and they could hear it spoken to them, and you know, we'll mix some sound effects in with it. We could have a good time.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, here it goes.
No!
Here it goes.
That's, oh my god, the synergy.
That's common?
Wow.
That hurt. You get a life steal on them.
Teammates.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
But we were friends.
We are friends until you notate Candle.
Until the candle's involved. We know where Vontae's draws a line now. Gosh. Oh, man. And
the sacrifice.
Yep. Nice. Nice way to go. Yeah. That kind of reminds me how the Tavern versus Tavern in BlizzCon ended.
Oh, my gosh.
And look, you have got another 100 gold bonus.
Congratulations.
That was a good lockbox in that room. 100 gold and a candle.
So a part of me also wants, so this is a purple candle. So I thought, man, should that allow them to unlock an epic minion too? As part of the treasure? Because then you got the candle. It's purple. I don't know. I could have blue candles. I could have golden candles. You never know.
I personally feel like that's giving an advantage to someone who doesn't need it.
Because he already beat you.
But no, but you know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
Yeah, you're rewarding winning instead of rewarding gameplay.
Yeah, and leveling up through multiple gamings.
But what if they win the candle and get the two treasure points, but then say they light the candle and it awards the epic to their opponent?
That's pretty cool.
If they decide to light the candle.
Oh, I like that. That's worth thinking about. Cool. So you actually both get 20 experience points for going through the battle at the treasure room. But the two treasure points go to Avantes.
All right. So not counting the fight we skipped, that puts me at 110 experience.
Yes.
So. You're at max level now.
Woo! All right.
I don't like the salt mine.
What's that?
Said I don't like this salt mine.
So. All right, but that's it. That's the gist of it. I mean, it's, as you guys saw right there, it's not all that complicated to run once you actually see it done. You know, it's just telling the story and letting your players go in and do the deck building challenges and play a game on the ladder or play, you know, a game against each other and try to die quickly or whatever. So it's really interesting. It really makes you think about how to do it, how to work together. So
and Scott, I want to thank you for coming on and doing this with us tonight. I'm a very visual learner, so when I started to read the stuff, I mean, you know, Avantes and Illyria can attest to this. I was like, my brain hurts. I don't know what's going on. I was overwhelmed very fast because there's, you know, three walls of text staring at me. So once I can digest this in bite-sized chunks like we did tonight, this makes it very interesting and something we're having our fireside on this coming Saturday here in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And this is something we'll introduce because this is a complete casual, no tournament whatsoever. We figure with the launch coming on on Thursday, we just want to give people time to familiarize themselves with what's going on and not have any kind of pressure of a tournament. So this would be a good, fun time to do this as well. Because that also gives people chances to look at new cards and build new decks. So I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Yeah, I'm really glad. It's a great opportunity. I'm happy that people are enjoying it. You know, there's a lot of times that you put a lot of work into, you know, something and then it just kind of goes away and, you know, it doesn't get used. So I'm happy that people are excited to try it out.
And I also appreciate that you actually test played it because I've seen some things out there that haven't been test played and might work really good in your mind but don't work good once they're executed. Yeah. So I'm glad that you did test play to make some changes. It seems like it's pretty well thought out.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. So, Scott, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you if they want to hear more from you online?
Yeah, you bet. You can find me on pretty much any social media at BytesHS, BYTESHS on Twitter, YouTube. You can search for me there. I've been releasing a lot of videos, including the description of how this game works. And why I built it, and a bunch of other materials. And then hsinkeepers.com is really the site that I've been maintaining and trying to upload all these resources to. So that's where you can go to actually just download the Kobolds and Catacombs Adventure Companion and the character sheets.
Awesome. O'Leary, why don't you tell people where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Aleiri, that's A-L-E-I-R-R-I, and in the Innkeeper Discord, of course.
Awesome. Root, how about yourself?
Well, you can find me over on the Hearthcast podcast. It's a Blizzard Universe podcast. And you can also find me and my fellow innkeepers here at Florida Fireside by checking out floridafireside.com or just Florida Fireside anywhere, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or anywhere else, including Meetup. And again, we are having our Meetup coming up the 9th coming up here real quick.
Awesome. Awesome.
What about you, Avantes? Where can anybody find you?
Well, they can find me on Twitter at AvantesHS, or they can find me every Wednesday night right here on Twitch at twitch.tv/ECMMOGamers on Hero Power, where we don't forget to use our Hero Power. But, yeah, or you can find me in the Innkeeper Discord as well. I'm usually lurking. I may not talk a lot or post a lot, but I'm usually lurking and I read most every post. So you will find me there. All right. Well, again, thanks to Scott for coming in and leading us through this awesome campaign. I look forward to running these events for my patrons in the near future. I think I have some that will enjoy it. And I guess that'll do it for us. Please, if you have
Swinghammer.
Any feedback, anything you really liked, anything you didn't like, the Innkeeper Discord in the podcast chat channel, let us know. We'd love to hear from all of you. And I guess that'll do it. We'll see you all again next week.
Bye. Thanks, chat.
Later, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the Innkeeper's Podcast. Keep
Bob's head. We pretend like we can hear.
All sorts of Hearthstone community-related goodness. Check out hsinnkeepers.com. Ah, oh, come on now. Swing, you just roping me along.